Thinking to give an overview of Gittin, just a couple quick background principles of the Masechta, and then we'll go back in commission to the first part. And I think at this time, maybe we'll even start learning a little bit. The obvious, most important principle you should be aware of is a get. I'm sure everyone knows what a get is. It's basically a shtar, it's a document. A man either writes and has a sofa right and is brought to his wife, and when his wife gets it after the maisa nesina, she's divorced. You need a nesina, you have to give it to her. It can't just be, you throw it on the floor and she picks it up. That's a psul called tli gitech mi'al gabi karka. You have to give it to her and she has to pick it up and she takes it. That shtar itself has many, many dinim in it. There's 12 lines. That's not nikkur. 12 lines. It has to be written l'shma. It has to be nichtav and nichtav in the same time period. It can't be nichtav bayom and nichtav balayla. It can't be mechubar l'karka. There's many, many, many dinim to know what that shtar is. Some of them we're going to discuss, many of them we're not going to discuss, but through the Masechta, you should be aware, I imagine people will be learning the Mishnayos on the road, if not a lot of Bikiyas, they'll come up with a lot of these dinim. The first little Tosfos, he alludes to Dafka, the din of 12 lines, and why that is. But that's basically a get. That triggers Gerush. I mentioned, I guess along the way, the principle of a nesina, the pasuk ki yitain, you have to do an amais in nesina. Exactly how you do a nesina, what's considered a nesina, is a kinyan in nesina, is a kinyan not a nesina, because you do a nesina, must you do it yourself? You know, again, you can't throw it on the floor, could she have any role in it? Exactly how you do a nesina, these are major critical sukkahs in Gittin, we're not going to touch most upon that either. The third major, I guess, topic you should be aware of in Gittin is what's called a shliach. There are two classic models of shliach that you should be aware of. There's a shliach laholacha and a shliach lekavalah. A shliach laholacha is the baal shliach. A shliach lekavalah is the isha's shliach. Therefore, if the man wants to give his wife a get, he can either give it to a shliach to give it to her, he can give it to her shliach, or he can give it to his shliach to give it to her shliach. The critical difference between his shliach and her shliach is when her shliach gets the get, she's megureshes automatically. If it's a shliach lekabala, it's kilu she was makabal to get. If it's a shliach laholacha, as long as the shliach is holding on to the get, the gerush is not chal. So if let's just say he changes his mind and goes back and stops the shliach from giving it to the isha, if it's a shliach laholacha, he's prevented the marriage. If it's a shliach lekabala, no dice. She's already married, because she's already divorced, pardon me, because the shliach lekabala, when the shliach lekabala got to get, the gerushin was chal in the end and game over. Those, I guess, the major principles in terms of Masechta's Gittin you should be aware of. Obviously, there's a lot more than that. It's a Masechta of 90 pages or so. There's a lot more than just those three principles, but those are good major chunks. We're going to be learning the first parak, which starts off probably the first two parak and a half. Is almost all about the sugya of b'fanai nechtav or b'fanai nechtam. I call it bin. They make fun of me when I do that years ago when I taught it the first time. Feel free to make fun of me again. I just think it's a tongue twister every single time to say b'fanai nechtav or b'fanai nechtam. It's just like 10 syllables versus 2. I just say bin and keep it short. Why the Masechta starts with these bin sugyas is a fantastic question. Every time you come across a Masechta, you have to ask yourself, why does the Masechta start how it does? Very often you read a Masechta and the things just kind of go in order. For example, you take a look at Masechta's Yoma and it's a chronological order. It starts off a week before Yom Kippur and it moves into Erev Yom Kippur, then Yom Kippur itself, etc., etc. You look at Masechet Shabbos, it's not organized thematically. The Malachos are tucked away in the middle of the seventh para. That'd be the first thing you would talk about. What are the Malachos? It's also organized chronologically, at least that's what Tosfos claims. Masechet, it starts off Erev Shabbos, moves into, you know, etc., etc. so each Masechet has an order. You have to figure out exactly what the order is. How did Rebbe decide to arrange the parak? And sometimes it's, you know, technical or chronological, like the two Masechta dimensions. Sometimes it's more thematic. If you look at Baba Kama, it's probably more thematic. The first six parakim were all one type of nezek. The seventh parak is about Geneva. The eighth parak is about chavala. The ninth is about gezela. It's Hashem, we'll learn Bava Kama next year. We'll go through some of the order of the Masechta, the first day as well, and we'll try our best to understand the order of, and it's worthwhile thinking about that. I have no idea why the order of Gittin starts off with Vafana Nechtam. To me, it's like a small little technical din that should be tucked away somewhere, and it takes up a lot of space. It's the whole first parak, and even the second parak is also called Hamevi Get, which basically deals with the same topic as well. Worthwhile to think about it, worthwhile to ask. I don't have a good teretz view. I don't plan on really focusing on that too much, but it is worthwhile to think about. I would have started the Masechta with, when are you allowed to divorce your wife? Which is the last daf of the Masechta. It's like the last Mishnah. It's tucked away all the way in the end in the back. Oh yeah, there's this other little din of when the whole Torah is gerish and a shaykh. Why that's tucked away there, I have no idea. I'm 100% convinced Rebbe had a good theory as to why he organized it. I have zero clue as to what it is. And it was interesting, my dad spoke about it yesterday. Feel free to ask Ian for the notes afterwards. I don't plan, being that we got a kites month, it's a little bit of a longer kites month than usual. We got a good 2 months ahead of us sometimes, you know, like next year. Hebrew Yard is there, Chandu Barrett. Nonetheless, it's a shorter zman than usual, and I would like to turn some pages. This first little sugya of Rabba and Rava, which we'll hopefully even introduce today, really goes, you know, the maskan is found on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, Daf Hey, you know, so I'd feel terrible if we didn't get to the maskan of the first sugya. So instead of working on a lot of the peripheral sugyas that come up along the way, why you get has to be 12 lines, the gvulot of Eretz Yisrael, when we say taninon by Gittin versus by Kol Tarkula, and the Tosis and deal with a lot of these sugyas. I don't plan on discussing that. I plan on hitting the major bin sugyas. I plan on hitting the major points. We'll read through the Mishnah hopefully later on today, but I don't plan on discussing the Mishnah at all. I plan on picking up with Rava and Rava, really, on the Gemara and Daf Beis Mabeis. There are a lot of machlokes, tanoim, which each one requires thought. What's behind this machlok, behind that machlok, is what's the svar for the Chachamim, what's the svar for Shimon Gamliel, what's the svar for who else is over here, Rav Yehuda? Good question. Maybe we'll get there when we get into the Gemara, but I don't plan on spending much time on that as well. What else can I say in terms of my introduction? That's more or less the major stuff on the Mishnah. The basic idea of Bin Fani Nachtam is when the Shliach comes from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael with a get, let's just say the man's living out in, I don't know where, England, and the wife is living in Jerusalem. And he realizes, you want to know what? Forget it, it's just not working out. He decides to send her a get. He doesn't want to go himself, so he sends a shliach. The Mishnah we're talking about is a shliach leholacha. What about a shliach lekabbalah? Does he also have to say b'fanachtam? Is bin a maid that he has to have? The overwhelming majority of mefarshim say no. We'll see mirtz Hashem tomorrow. There is a small shita. One of the achronim says yes. It's a obscure sheet, I forgot even what his name is, the Pelas Chaim, something like that. I found it in the green Otsa Mefarshia Talmud. We'll see it tomorrow a little bit. Most people think that a Shliach LeKabbalah does not need, but a Shliach LeHalacha would need. There is a minority sheet, that is one small opinion, the Pelas Chaim, that not only would a Shliach LeHalacha need, but even a Shliach LeHalacha would need, but certainly a Shliach LeKabbalah. We'll have to discuss that. Machlokes Mitzvah, we'll discuss that, you know, next year. Just to make sure people know what I'm talking about. If that means, let's say, you know, the Baal, let's just, here or not, the Baal wants to divorce his wife, so the Baal sends a shliach. If it's the Baal's shliach, he gets there to Israel and he says, find nechta. If the Isha sends a shliach to the Baal and he gives her a get, the exact same shliach, but now it's a shliach lekabbalah, brings the get to Eretz Israel, does he need to say, find nechta? The overwhelming majority of poskim, mefarshim, say no. We'll have to discuss why that is, but just in terms of what we're talking about the Shliach LeHolach. Good? Okay, the Gemara starts off with, why do you need this binbin? Why do you need the fanenachtam, fanenachtam? If you wouldn't have said that, what problem may have occurred? If the shliach would not have said it, so then, let's say the get was not written and signed in front of him. Well, who cares? What would have been the problem? What's the answer to that question? Half? Machlok is between Rabba and Rabba. We'll discuss a lot more detail of this, Mitzvah Shem, next year as well. But Rabba says, Lefi She'en B'kiyin L'shma, that the people in Chutz La'aretz, they're not B'kiyin L'shma. They don't know the dinim of L'shma so well, and there's a good chance the get was not written L'shma. And if it wasn't written L'shma, the whole get's not good. Therefore, the Rabbanan, we'll see a little later on, the Rabbanan instituted this whole b'fanenachtam necessity, the whole need to say binbin. It's a din the Rabbanan. Therefore, the Rabbanan said, you better say binbin, this way you'll know it's l'shma. One can ask, a very difficult problem with this. Wow, b'fanenachtam, does that really prove that it's written l'shma? What's the most important word according to Rabba? What should it be? L'shma. And that's not really what the shliach says. He says b'fanenachtam. He doesn't say l'shma. That's a problem. The Gemara will discuss it. There is even a discussion in Rishonim. Is it assumed when he says b'fanenachtam, he means it's l'shma? Do they actually follow up and ask him? Was it l'shma? Rashi over here on Daf Beis Mabeis says we do follow up. Rashi on Daf Gimel says maybe you do, maybe you don't. It's a stira on Rashi. The Ran thinks maybe it's Machlok, the Bavli, and the Yerushalmi. So there is a discussion as to whether or not Rabba, who solves the Lishma problem, is interested in mandates or pictures a model where Beis Din interrogates the Shliach. Does he or does he not? It's a good question. We'll leave that aside for, get back to it with Hashem. And the other question, which, I probably won't get back to, but it's worthwhile to know, I put it on the Maror Makomos, is why dafka l'shma? L'chora, if they're Amoratsim living in Chutz La'aretz, and that's the concern, that the Baal in England doesn't know the halachas, he's not going to write a get l'shma, and that was, in fact, that was the case in the times of Bayi Sheni, in terms of Mishnayis. The people in Chutz La'aretz knew a lot less Torah, they were Amoratsim, so they wouldn't write a get l'shma. So we showed him, ask, well, maybe they'd write a get that was b'chor b'l'karka. Maybe they would write a get that was Nechtav Bayomu Nechtav Alayla. There are many, many psulegim. Why Dafka Lishma? Who asked this question? Anyone see it? What? Tosfos asks. Tosfos gives two answers. One he rejects, one he accepts. The one he rejects, he says, Ein Lomar. And there are other shrub who do accept it. The Rivra found in Tosfos Rush, in fact, does accept it. Writes, it's more Shchiyah. Just happens to be the odds of anyone writing a get that's Mechubur Lakarka are very small. Who would walk over to a tree while it's still attached to the ground and write a get on the tree? That's very uncommon. It could be in all of world history, no one ever attempted to do it. Wouldn't surprise me. It's uncommon. But shelo lishma, that's much more common. Tosfos doesn't like that suggestion. Tosfos himself has a different suggestion, which is, it's not that they didn't know the din, but rather that they rejected. They had a different Torah Shebaal Peh. It's not like a mitzvah stick of thing as much as it is a historical thing. Look around, people in Chutz La'aretz, they didn't accept it as well. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam says. Tosfos Rush has this as well. That the Bechol Hilchas Gittin Bekiyin, El the Hach Drasha, the Bekasav La Lashma, Ein Nearest Lehem Iker Drasha. They didn't like the Drasha. They disagreed with it. They thought it was an incorrect Drasha. And therefore, they didn't like Lashma. The Ramban offers two other suggestions. The Ramban says, number one, it could be also, the Ramban says that Lishma is the Baal's need, while all the other dinim is the Sofer's need. So you don't have to worry about a Sofer, but you do have to worry about a Baal. The Ramban offers another thing, which is, there's many different ways of suggesting that Lishma is more Shchiach, is more relevant, is more prominent, and therefore Rabba mentions Lishma. That's Rabba. Then you have Rabba. What does Rabba say? The problem is that There are no Edom. Edom will not be available. They won't be available. Maybe the Baal will come back and say, hey, I never wrote that get. He'll change his mind. He'll send off the get. You give out that, you know, I really feel terrible. I want to keep stick with my wife. I don't want to divorce her. He'll come along and he'll say, I never, ever wrote that get. It was forged. Who know what? Who knows what? And therefore, when this aid comes along, it says bin bin. When it says b'fanechtam, his bin bin solved that problem of ir or abal. Usually, you have to go find the aid, and where are they? But the aid aren't available because he's all the way from Chutzlarts and she's there to struggle to get aid from England without texting and telephones and internet. It's very difficult. So maybe it's a good chashash. So says Rava, what is a bin bin? No longer does that chashash exist. You know, we've solved that potential problem of ir. Just to finish summarizing the Gemara, give you a little larger picture. We'll go back and read the Gemara inside once I'm done with the introduction. The Gemara then has three nafka meters between Rava and Rava. The second two, I think, are very similar. What are the second two nafka meters? Anyone know? Yeah. Right. If let's say you're from two different sides of Eretz Yisrael, and so therefore, is there a problem of Lishma? No, because they know the Dina, but is there a problem of Eidim Tzim Lakaima? Yeah, because they're far away. And the other one would be? The same Medina, but also Medina. They live, if they're in Chutz La'aretz, but they're near each other, the Eidim are Mitzui and Lakaima, but yeah, but they still don't know the Dina of Lishma. Just to kind of pinpoint, you know, the unclarity, the Mishnah started off with people going from Chutz La'aretz to Eretz Yisrael. Well, what problem does that create? One of two. We'll give a little bit of lumpness over here. What's the machlokas over here, Rabbi? So what's behind the machlokas, Rabba and Rava? We'll have to discuss it for lack of greater length, but at least al regel achas. What's the intuitive first thing you'd want to suggest?
I guess whether they know
that's true, meaning, you know, we'll have to figure out, well, according to Rabba, people in Chutz La'aretz don't know Lishma. Well, what about Rava? Do they know Lishma? Is it Machlokas Metzias? Presumably not. You're right. And, you know, Eidim Metzuyim L'Kaima. Well, are they Metzuyim L'Kaima or not? L'char, both Metzias is correct, and theoretically, one can really accept both positions, Rava and Rava. And actually, on Dav Dalet, we'll see a little bit later on, the Maskan is that Rava does, in fact, accept Rava. That Rava holds of both reasons. Rava holds of both Lishma and Eidim Metzuyim L'Kaima. That's, you know, interesting treat of Rava. It's misleading in the beginning. That's the Havamina. We'll get the Maskan and Dav Dalet. But the real critical difference that leads to these Nafka Minas is what? If you had to kind of categorize it or pinpoint it, what would it be? That's a word, not pinpointing up the two different sheets. You're on the right track, I think. At least talking relevant words. In a few more seconds, otherwise I'll tell you. What's the major difference, according to Rava, how do you categorize Rava's problem versus Rava? I would have said something different. What do you mean?
Is it like practical problem that people aren't close together, or is it fundamental for people to
know? That may be true. I was going to go a little bit differently. Ways that lead to not meaning it's 2 and 3. Does the problem stem? Is it noveya from the fact that the Baal and the Ish are far away from each other, or from the fact that the Baal is in Chutz La'aretz? Right, according to Rava, it's the fact that they're far away from each other. And therefore, even if they're both in Eretz Yisrael, but they're far away, you still have a problem. But if they're no longer far away, if they're close to each other, even if they're in Chutz La'aretz, not a problem. According to Rava, the fact that the Mishnah started out talking about people in Chutz La'aretz, it's like Lav Dafka. It happened to be one guy's in Chutz La'aretz, she's in Eretz Yisrael, but really the critical factor according to Rava is that they are far away from each other. There's a distance. Eidim Mitzvim L'Kaim. According to Rava, the problem is not that they're far away. That's like Lav Dafka. The problem is that the Baal is in Chutz La'aretz. He doesn't know these halachas. He's sending again from Chutz La'aretz, L'Shlech Lova. Okay, she happened to be in Eretz Yisrael. But the key factor, according to Rava, is that he is in Chutz La'aretz. Nafka Mina, if he's not in Chutz La'aretz, then, right, they're both in Eretz Yisrael, that's Nafkmina number two, Rabba would concede, and Nafkmina number three is if Rabba, well, if they're near each other, then Rabba would concede. The Gemara also has one more Nafkmina, which is the first Nafkmina. The first Nafkmina is what? If Asayu Beitrei, if two people come in, well, then Lechor, there's no concern of Edom and Siyam Lekaimo. Why is not so clear? We'll get to that when we get to this Gemara in great length. Just continuing a little more to give you a little more the perspective, the picture of this bin stuff and what it's coming to do. The Gemara asks a pretty important question, which is, if there's only one shliach doing it, he's only one person, how is he accredited to be believed? He's only one guy. So what does the Gemara initially answer? He's an Eid Echad of Nebuchadnezzar. The Gemara rejects that application over here and says, no, you can't apply Eid Echad Nebuchadnezzar over here. It's an inappropriate application. And then the Gemara says, what really is the reason why he's believed? Because there's a rove. And even according to Rav Meir, who holds, we don't accept roves, and he's chayish for the miyot. So Rav Meir's chash over here is not shaykh, because Stam Sifrei Dedaini Bigmar Gmirei. And therefore, we have a rove, or we have Stam Sifrei Dedaini, whatever we have. Midaraisa, you don't need anything. It's just the Rabbanon who said, let's have an extra chashash of Lishma. And hey, Mamru, the Rabbanon were the ones who said, you can have a extra chashash of, you should have an extra chashash of Lishma, and we'll allow the only one person to be believed, i.e. this one person is believed, the bin guy is believed, Mishome Guna, we were Mako. The Gemara has a similar type of read according to Rava, where it asks the exact same question. Really, is one aid really believed according to Rava? You're going to be Mekayim the Shtar with one? So Eid Echad Nebuchadnezzar, aye, but Eid Echad Nebuchadnezzar doesn't apply over here. So the answer is you have B'din hu debekiyum shtaros, I'm sorry, Yivresh Lakshis, Nimush Eidem Achsum and Allah Shtar, Nas Kimisha Nichkore Jisim Abasin, we allow for Eidem's Chasim on a Shtar to stand strong. If not, the Kimisha Nichkore Jisim Abasin, that allows to be a large stoke we'll get to a little later on. And therefore, again, Hey Mamru, the Rabbanan believed one Eid. Therefore, it comes out, the upshot is, it's been a din daraisa, the Rabbanon. Midaraisa, what do you have? Either a rove or Misha Nachkarei do some basic, depending if it's Rabba or Rabba. Then you have this whole chashash, the Rabbanon, and the bin solution that the Rabbanon comes to resolve. I hope that was a little bit helpful. I wanted just to add on a few more points, just about much more technical things, less about the learning, but I felt that just getting that larger picture of what bin's coming to do. Again, midaraisa, there's no problem. There's a rabbinic problem. The rabbis were like, hey, there's a major problem. The Torah solves it, but if you look into the world, it's really greater than even, you know, even though halachically it's not a problem, you want to be extra careful. Halachically, you can rely on the rove. You can rely on Kimisha Nechber to do some basic. But you want to know what? Other problems may exist. You know, you have to, I know there's a Kiyam Shtar, but there may be an extra ear or. Or I know there's a rove, but nonetheless, there may be a Lishma problem. So the Rabbanan created a whole, the Rabbanan institution. And that really is what we're going to spend our time trying to understand. This is Zman. We're going to try our best to understand what Bin does. What Eid Echad does, what's Eid Echad's scope? The Gemara had a Havamina that it was good, Kimash Milan, no, why not? Where does Eid Echad apply to? Mishazik Yisura, Darshav Erba, how do these things fit in? What is the rove? What does Rabbi Meir hold about a rove? Where is an Eid Echad believed versus a rove? What's the pros and cons of each of them? What is Kiyom Shtar? This will be probably the first 2 or 3 weeks of Shir. I would have said two. But we have holidays and I'm always off. I always underestimate how long it takes me to learn. But these are the major topics we're going to try our best to really sit in. What is the credibility of Eid Echad? What is the credibility of a rove? If there is a rove, why would the Rabbanan not just keep it? Why do they need a derabbanan in addition? If you have nechbe, so what does that mean? How does kiyum shtaros work? What's the criteria? What's the need for kiyum shtaros? And how do you satisfy that need? Midaraisa, midarabbanan. What are these nafkahis between Rava and Rava? What's behind the machlokis Rava and Rava? How does Binyan work? These are the predominant sugyas we're going to discuss in the next 2 or 3 weeks. I mentioned, and I'll reiterate, I plan on moving pretty quickly. I don't plan on covering every single point. Basically, we're skipping all the Iyan on Beis Amar Aleph. You know, those of you who are with me during Elozman, I think we did one Amud in all of the Elozman. So the fact that we're going to read through the Mishnah on Beis Amar Aleph, you know, in about 3 minutes, and that's all we're gonna, that's about 90% of the time we're going to spend on it. You see the contrast. I do plan on covering 4 or 5 daf over here. I plan on getting daf vavish or so, daf zayin. I'm not sure how far we're going to get, but I like to try to move a little bit. And again, it's not that the sugyas on that page are less important. The gvulot for Eretz Yisrael, like kedusha shayit, kedusha rishon, kedusha shayit, kedusha lasid lavo. When was Eretz Yisrael become? When did it get its kedusha? You know, does it have its kedusha still? When did it lose it? How do these things work? Could you walk up on Har Habayis? These are pretty central, so important sugyas, but not for us. How does Taninan work? When does Beis Din make claims for people who can make claims for themselves or don't know how to make claims for themselves? When do they? When don't they? By Gittin, by other halachas. They're really important dinim. We're going to skip them all because we're going to kind of just focus on, you know, I guess other sugyas. Lastly, in terms of what sfarim to buy, you know, it doesn't need to be said, you need to have a Gemara. If you don't have a Rambam, so it pays to have a Rambam. I've never been a person in my life who considers himself a Talmid Chacham who doesn't own a Rambam. So if you have aspirations for godliness and learning, make sure you have a Rambam. The major three Rishonim are the Ramban, the Rajba, and the Rabbeinu Kreskes. There is no Ritva. If you look in the beige book that says Ritva on it, you'll find two different commentaries. The first one is a Shita, which people thought was the Ritva. Now we don't know who it is, but we know it's not the Ritva. All we know is that it's not the Ritva. So people call it the Shita HaMiyuchas LaRitva. It's Miyuchas LaRitva. It's, you know, it has some type of relationship to Ritva. I don't know, but it's not. It's the mistaken Ritva. The second Shita in the back is called the Rabbeinu Kreskes. He does the job the Ritva does. These later Chachmei Sfard, they really do the job. If anyone's interested in the historical analysis from the earlier Chachmei Sfard to the later Chachmei Sfard, even specifically the Sfardim who lived in Christian Spain versus Muslim Spain, the Rambam lived in Muslim Spain, but the Ramban, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Rebbeinu Kreskes, the Ram, the Ra'ah, these Rishonim, you see the development of them, it's a fascinating development. If anyone's interested in the history of how the Chachmei Sfardish Rishonim learned, so Rebbeinu Kreskes in the same camp as the Ritva, much more encyclopedic, quotes a lot more, offers more answers, has a lot of, instead of offering original suggestions, he quotes people. Sometimes he just explains Pshat in the Gemara. If you ever like get stuck in the Gemara, you would never open up the Ramban for Pshat, for Bekiyas. The Ritva, the Rebbeinu Kreskes, they're very helpful. So the way you would have used the Ritva, I would use the Rebbeinu Kreskes. If you get stuck reading a Gemara, the Meiri, the Rebbeinu Kreskes, these are good guys to go to. Probably the three major Rishonim will be using again the Ramban, the Rajba, and the Rebbeinu Kreskes. A little bit the Miyuchas LaRitva, probably not so much. In general, I encourage people to buy the Rishonim and not the Kovetz. I know the Kovetz is cheaper, and I know you get even extra Rishonim who the other guys don't have, but I just feel like when you sit down with a Ritva, I don't know, it could just be it's me. I tell you this, Elzman, good chance to understand it, because you know it's right out of high school. Chorisman, I'm not sure, but by Kaitzman, if you haven't noticed the difference between reading out of a Rishon versus a Ritva, or it's not here, but a Ramban, a Rajba, your own seer versus the Kovetz, so go to Kovetz. For me, it just feels like if I want the sheet itself, I get the, you know, it's the real deal. It's a better girsa. It has footnotes that often quote important things or change girsas or make the difficult lines that are impossible to read easy to understand. I just feel like it's my safer versus like, you know, versus something on the shelf that I'm kind of borrowing, even if I own Kovetz. If it doesn't bother you, stick with the Kovetz. You know, I'm not pushing, but I just think, you know, for me, it's a different feel. It's like using the yeshiva's Gemara versus using my own Gemara. My Gemara is mine. It's like when you lose your Gemara, you could use someone else's, but like, it's not the same. In any event, I'm a big believer of buying Svarim. happens to be it's a mitzvah according to many Rishonim. Minchas Chol thinks it's a mitzvah derabana, and the Rishonim and the Chul, I believe the Rish, the Rosh, I forgot, he thinks it's a mitzvah daraisa. It's an extension of the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah. The reason why it's supposed to write a sefer Torah is in order to have it to learn. So many people believe that buying Sfarim fulfills that need. In any event, let's get started.